Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young.
And I'm Steve Kerwood. In December, the nations of the world are planning to gather in Copenhagen to come to a new agreement to fight climate change. The Kyoto Protocol expires in 2012. At the beginning of June, delegates came to Bonn, Germany, for a two-week meeting intended to hammer out some of the details of a new deal. And Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman joins me now from Bonn. Hi there, Bruce.
Hi, Steve.
So, Bruce, this meeting is now, what, the second in a series of five leading up to Copenhagen in December. I think the UN set up so many meetings because they so easily get bogged down and they need a lot of time. What kind of progress this time?
Well, for the very first time, there's a working draft of the text of a proposed climate treaty, and that's a big deal. And delegates have been scrutinizing every word and every punctuation mark. But the problems at this stage, Steve, aren't with the details. I spoke with Jennifer Morgan. She's director for the Global Climate Change Program at the European environmental think tank called E3G.
I think there was progress just in moving forward on getting that text ready and discussing and understanding country positions. But as far as making progress to really solving the problem and seeing signals from the big polluting countries that they're going to do something significant, no.
So what exactly are the signals from big countries that people are looking for?
Well, there are two major issues. A, the big industrial countries, the ones in the Northern Hemisphere that Jennifer Morgan calls the big polluters. The question for them is, how much are they willing to cut greenhouse gas emissions? And B, money and technology. How much support will these big nations provide, you know, the developing countries to help them confront and adapt to climate change, which they say the industrial nations caused?
So how now does the U.S. fit into this?
Well, under the Waxman-Markey bill, which is making its way through Congress, the United States would make domestic emission reductions of about 4% below 1990 levels. Now, you might recall, Steve, that the Kyoto Protocol, the United States signed that way back when, but never ratified the call for cuts to 7% below 1990. So the United States has slid backwards in the eyes of some. And by the way, Steve, the United States isn't alone with such modest targets. Japan announced its goal here in Bonn, and it's just 2 percentage points below 1990 levels. That's from 6 to 8%. And it really disappointed a lot of people, including Tasneem Essop from World Wildlife.
What did not help, of course, was Japan's announcement in the plenary about their targets. This was a real trust killer. And Japan chose to make the announcement in a plenary in front of vulnerable countries. And clearly the kind of targets they placed on the table takes us on an emission pathway up to 3 degrees or beyond.
So she's talking about 3 degrees of global warming. Scientists say we're going to be in deep trouble if we have more than 2 degrees.
Yeah, floods and climate change could be cataclysmic. But, you know, it's still early on. And Ivo de Boer, who's the executive secretary of the UN Climate Organization, says he's not about to give up.
I'm optimistic because the political essentials of a good deal in Copenhagen are not rocket science. The political essentials of a good deal in Copenhagen are ambitious targets for rich nations, ambitious engagement of developing countries, and money on the table to help poor nations with adaptation. And that's not rocket science.
And how much money on the table are they talking about? I mean, how ambitious is ambitious?
Sit down, Steve. $250 billion a year to help poor nations. That does include direct aid and the transfer of high technology.
They're going to need a very big table.
Yeah. And there are a number of formulas and ways the negotiators are going to come up with it. Here's Ivo de Boer again.
At the end of the day, it always comes out of the taxpayer's pocket. I hope that we will find a formula that basically follows the polluter pays principle. And as far as I'm concerned, you can eat strawberries in the dead of winter, providing that you pay the environmental cost associated with getting those strawberries to you at that unsustainable moment in time.
So the rich pay for their high-carbon diets?
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea. And while the United States is the richest nation, China recently surpassed us as the number one polluter of greenhouse gases, was why all the negotiators here in Bonn were talking about the bilateral negotiations that were going on between the United States and China in Beijing. I spoke with Jonathan Pershing. He's the deputy special envoy for climate change with the State Department. He just flew in to Bonn right from Beijing.
So my sense is that the Chinese are moving, that the Chinese are engaged in this dialogue at the most senior levels of government, that climate change, partly because of a U.S. interest, partly because of the consequences to China of climate change, has taken hold as a topic that they weren't working on 5 years ago and that's now become one of the significant areas of interest. I think the bottom line is the question of how quickly we can all move.
Bruce, before you go, tell me about the speculation about President Obama coming to Copenhagen.
There's a lot of talk about that here, which is why I asked Ivo de Boer, the executive secretary of the United Nations Framework on Climate Change, if he thought President Obama would show up in Copenhagen in December for the final negotiations.
I think it would help a lot because Mr. Obama would come to celebrate success, so his arrival would be the signal of that.
Mm-hmm. You'd expect to see him there?
I don't know.
I guess the question is, do you expect to be successful?
I expect to be successful. I think we have to be successful. I think that Copenhagen is a unique moment in time, that the world is looking for an answer there. What we're still lacking is the Paul Revere who can ride out and get us the answer in Copenhagen. That's why I'm calling for political leadership. But I think it will be done.
You know, I could just see President Obama riding a horse through the streets of Copenhagen yelling, climate change is coming, climate change is coming.
So what happens next, Bruce?
Well, there are three more rounds of UN talks this summer and fall. There's Bonn, Bangkok, and Barcelona. But the real action will be in Italy next month when the world's wealthiest nations meet, and then in September when the heads of state meet at the UN in New York. And then there's another big meeting in Pittsburgh, and then on to Copenhagen in December.
Thanks, Bruce.
It's my pleasure, Steve.
Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman at the UN climate negotiations in Bonn, Germany.